wonderful, wonderful song of praise. And we thank the Lord for Sister Cammie Wood again here to accompany and to help today with the music. For she's always a blessing, praise the Lord. We thank God for her and her family coming to share with us this morning as Joe and DeVita are down there dealing with Nate in New Orleans. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. We are not going to keep you long. We have a full day ahead of us, so we want to get right into the message and worship the Lord and come back and support sincere praise and their praise dance explosion on this afternoon. Open with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And this being our communion Sunday this month, I want to talk to you about a very, very precious part of the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 17, reads as follows, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were purchased but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot." Father God, we come this morning. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory, O Lord, for allowing us to be here in this place of worship. We thank you for those worshipers, Lord, who have gathered to be a part of this service today. And we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our understanding, Lord, that we might truly receive your engrafted word with joy. Speak, Lord, today, touch hearts, transform lives, add to the kingdom, Lord, if there be any here who don't know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, speak with my mouth, think with my mind, let your voice be heard today, O God, as we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift your Bible with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Amen. I want to talk to us, as I said, this being our communion Sunday this month, about being redeemed. Redeemed is something that used to be talked about with quite frequency in the Christian community, in the church of God. We used to talk about it on a regular basis because redemption is at the heart of the gospel. Amen. We used to sing songs that talked about being redeemed. And I believe that throughout the course of time, that in our minds, not intentionally, that we have devalued, we have reduced the potency of our redemption. I believe that we need to think about redemption because redemption is a narrower term than salvation. Redemption focuses on the means. It focuses on what was needed, what was required, amen, in order to accomplish our salvation. Now, I hope everybody in here knows and understands that we were in bondage before we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. You need to understand that you were on death row, on your way to a life of eternal punishment in hell before you gave your life to Jesus Christ. We need to understand that the prison that we were locked up in didn't belong to the devil. It belonged to God, because God is both the judge and executioner of all who sin. Oh, y'all act like y'all don't understand that. See, we oftentimes always want to put it on the devil, but it was God's price that had to be propitiated. It was God who had to be satisfied with the ransom that would be offered in order to set us free from this prison. So literally, we were in God's prison waiting for the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for our redemption. Now, the price that had to be paid was one that God himself designed, prescribed, and then performed through sending his son into the world. And in Peter's own way, Peter is letting us know that Christ is our Redeemer. And, you know, and with this, I believe that we need to celebrate our redemption. We don't celebrate the things of God like we should. Amen. And one writer said that great was the work of creation, but greater was the work of redemption. Oh, let me say it again. Great was the work of creation, but greater was the work of redemption. In creation, God was speaking words and things were coming into existence. In creation, God took the dust of the ground with his fingers, formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. And see, that was easy for God, because God has what? Power. Amen. To make something out of nothing. But when it came to our redemption, it required the sacrifice of his own son. It required the loss of blood, amen, to buy our redemption. So the writer, in saying greater was the work of redemption than that of creation, certainly had a valid point. Redemption required the shedding of blood. Redemption focuses on the means. It focuses on what God had to do in order to buy us back, in order to redeem us from bondage. And there, you can look back at Exodus 12 and just get a glimpse of what Peter had in mind as he began to write about our redemption. If you, and for those who may not be familiar, but just let me highlight a few of the points just to kind of bring us all up to speed and get us on the same page. Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. And the scripture says that their cry came up to God, God heard them, and in turn, God called Moses and then gave him Aaron as a spokesperson and commanded him, commissioned him to go down to Pharaoh's house and to tell Pharaoh that I said, let my people go. Pharaoh refused to release the children of Israel, and God told Moses, go down and take the staff and work some miracles and let them see the power of God. And Pharaoh still refused to release God's children. So God said, well, if you're not going to listen and be reasonable, then I'm going to send plagues upon the land. And he sent the first plague, and Pharaoh still refused to let them go. He sent the second, third, all the way up to the ninth plague, and Pharaoh still refused to release the children of God. Now, what I want you to understand here is that there is an interplay between God and Pharaoh. Because 10 times God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and 10 times Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So you need to understand that with that, Pharaoh made the decision at times that he was going to be rebellious, resistant against the will of God himself. God hardened his heart in order to show his power. Pharaoh hardened his heart to show his stupidity. Because of all the things that had taken place, it would say to me what God was doing, that I can't fight, I can't win against the God of heaven. Now, that we might be clear, God hardened Pharaoh's heart for a specific purpose. If you are a child of God, God is not going to harden your heart to be resistant to his will or to rebel against his word. Am I right, Brother Bowman? Amen. So if you are struggling in your life, it's not God that's making your heart hard. It's you. So don't blame God. Don't try to put the rebellion on God. It is us who are resistant to his word, and we all have sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. Amen. But God had a remedy, and he told Moses, he said, go back and let Pharaoh know that because he has not heeded to my word, that I am going to kill the firstborn in Egypt of man, of women, children, and even the livestock. I'm killing everything that was the firstborn. But God, with that direction, also gave Moses some very specific instruction related to the redemption, the protection of his children. Amen. He let him know. And if you go back to chapter 11, and I'm going to read just a little bit so you can kind of get the backdrop. But it says, and this is, he instructed them, he told them to go back to Pharaoh. Listen to this. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this is the 10th month of your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. So God, by divine decree, amen, marks the first month of Israel's religious calendar, amen, and the calendar of their being a nation. Amen. So God is already at work just in telling them how to prepare. Then he goes on and he says, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now, this lamb would almost become like a pet. It would become somewhat endeared. So that would mean that the sacrifice would even be greater to have to kill the lamb at the end of that time. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now, when they went into captivity, there wasn't that many of them. But you know how, you know the story about how Pharaoh was very hard on them, and particularly the Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. So he took away the straws, he made their labor hard, but the harder that he oppressed them, the more they multiplied, the stronger they got. So there were millions of Hebrews in the land of Egypt when this slaughter of lambs took place. So you can imagine that it was millions of them, and every household had to have blood, amen, that there were numerous, there were many lambs that were slaughtered. It says, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. So they literally, at the sacrifice, took the blood, they painted both sides of the door, the doorpost, and then they put blood over the top of the door, which is the lintel. Now God said, I'm getting you ready to get out of here because I'm going to redeem you. I don't care what Pharaoh says or what Pharaoh thinks. Now listen to what he tells them. And he says, and they shall take some of, they shall take and eat the meat. And then they shall eat it with their belts on their waist, sandals on their feet, and their staffs in their hand. And it says, so you shall eat it in haste. This is the Lord's Passover. Now, because I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt at night. And when I come through, I'm going to kill all of the firstborn in the land. But when I see the blood on the door, I will pass over and will not cause the plague to destroy the firstborn that are in those houses. Amen. So when you look at this, nighttime came. The death angel entered into the land of Egypt, passed over, and the firstborn began to die everywhere throughout the entire land except for where the blood was on the door. So that night, Israel did not experience any harm. Every firstborn that was in the house where the blood was on the door, the Lord passed over. Amen. And we can say that Israel as a nation literally was delivered. They were rescued. Amen. They were ransomed. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, think about it. God used blood then. And this is why I say we should celebrate our redemption. Because when they got down to the Red Sea, God opened it up, allowed them to cross over on dry ground. Pharaoh's army followed them in, and God let the waters come back over and drown all of them. What did Israel do when they got on the other side and they saw what God did to Pharaoh's army? They began to sing a new song. They began to celebrate the redemption that God had just executed by bringing them out of the land of Egypt, destroying their enemy, and allowing them to move forward. And this picture had to be in Peter's mind as he began to write verse 18 of chapter 1. Because he had celebrated as a Jew. Peter had celebrated the Passover all the days of his life. So, as believers, as the children of God, the word redemption carries with it powerful, dynamic implications for the saints. Amen. Now, let's look at the means of our redemption. First of all, what are we redeemed from? We are redeemed from the judgment of God. We are redeemed from sin. We are redeemed from hell. Amen. We are redeemed from being cast out of God's presence for all eternity. We're redeemed from lust and ignorance, and we're redeemed from useless lives, is what Peter calls it there in that verse. God delivers us from those things because he loves us. Now, what were we redeemed with? We know how. But let me take the negative side of this first. Now, there are only 2 points to this message, and I'm already at the first point. So y'all know we're not going to be here long, so stay with me. Amen. Money couldn't do. Verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers. In the eyes of God, silver and gold are corruptible things. And yet we as human beings, we place great value on money. Amen. I love that song that says silver and gold. Silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Amen. There's nothing about Christ that corrupts. But Timothy said that the love of money is what the root of all kinds of evil. Now, it's not money, in fact, that causes corruption in us. It is that we love money that causes that corruptive thing to take place in our lives. Now, when that type of corruption takes in, it says it causes people to what? Stray away from God and to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. We do harm to ourselves when we love money more than we love God. The psalmist said in Psalm 49, 7 and 8, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. And the writer is just simply saying that money cannot buy salvation. Amen. If money could buy salvation, the rich would live and the poor would die. Amen. Money can't buy or ransom the soul of any person or anything else. Money in and of itself, it's just a means of exchange that God gave us down here as stewards of what already belongs to him. See, that was just part of discipleship this morning, so I can reiterate that, and that is very simply that according to the word of God, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything that God has given us, as good as it is, will not, cannot purchase the redemption of a child of God. Well, How can sinners be redeemed? I'm so glad you asked. It is by the blood. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redemption makes us gods. It places us inside God because we are bought with a price. And therefore, we're no longer our own. We belong to God. But it took the blood of the Lamb, not a lamb, but the Lamb. Amen. It was the blood of the Lamb of God, amen, that purchased our redemption. He was the Lamb without spot or blemish. He lived a perfectly sinless life, amen, and yet he was willing to give it to save sinners like you and me. Amen. And I mean, so much so that, you know, that he was the precious Lamb of God. Amen. John the Baptist saw him, amen, in John chapter 1. And he saw Jesus walking down towards the place of baptism. And John, when he saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John recognized by revelation of the Holy Spirit at that moment in that place that he was looking at the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who would ultimately give his life that you and I might have eternal life. He's precious because he suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. Amen. The righteous for the unrighteous, the holy for the unholy. Amen. That he might bring us to God, that we might be known as God's children. Amen. Therefore, who redeemed us? It was Christ. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And because he did, he is the precious Lamb of God. He's precious because he is eternal. He was with the Father before the foundations of the world. He is precious because he is incarnate. He was human, and yet he was still God. He was precious, amen, because he is resurrected. God didn't leave him in the grave, amen. He is precious because God elevated him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue is going to confess. There's a story that I read, and I may have already told it before, but indulge me this morning. There was a little boy who went out into his father's shop, and there was some scrap wood laying there. And he had some ability, and he took some of the wood and made himself a little boat. And he painted the boat, and one day they went out to the lake. And the little boy was sailing his boat along the shore of the lake, and the wave began to change, and the boat just began to go farther and farther out to sea. And finally, the little boy just gave up and felt like his boat was lost forever, that he would never see it again. One day he was downtown with his dad and walked by a shop window, and there was a little boat sitting in the window. He went in and he tried to explain to the store owner and said, that's my boat. I made the boat, and The man was reluctant to hear his story. And he told him, he said, if you just come back with the money, I'll sell you the boat. I'll keep it for you. The little boy went home and got the money out of the little piggy bank and came back down and bought the boat from the store owner. And as he was walking back home, he was talking to the boat and he said, you're mine now again. You're mine twice because first I made you and now I bought you. Jesus Christ, when we were in the depths of degradation, when we were on our way to a devil's hell, late one Friday evening out on Mount Calvary, was nailed to an old rugged cross, raised up between two thieves. Yeah, and he hung there from the sixth until the ninth hour to cover up, to forgive all, to redeem us from all of our sin, to relieve us from our disobedience, to redeem us from our deceitfulness, to deliver us from our maliciousness, to save us from all the sin that is present in our lives. The word of God is true because it says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love towards us there on Mount Calvary. About the ninth hour, Jesus gave up his life to redeem us from sin. They took him down, laid him in old man Joseph's new tomb, rolled a stone up to the front of the tomb and placed the guard on the outside. The word of God says that he laid there all night, Friday night. Then nothing happened. He laid there all day Saturday and nothing happened. He laid there all night, Saturday night. Nothing happened. But early Sunday morning, before the sun began to rise, Jesus got up out of the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Well, when he got up, he walked and showed himself for 40 days. With all of his power, he was seen by numerous believers. Yes, he was. And then got on a cloud and went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Just so you might understand the connection between the little boy. Every time a sinner comes to Jesus by faith, he can now say, I own you twice. I created you and I bought you again with my blood. I just want to encourage you today. If you know that you have been redeemed, you ought to celebrate your redemption. Amen. God ought to be able to get a hallelujah up in here. He ought to be able to get a glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from my sin. He ought to be able to get a shout this morning, amen, from somebody who God brought him out, and you know for sure that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, I'm glad about the blood because the blood is never going to lose its power. The songwriter said it flows from the highest mountain down to the lowest valley. And I like it. I'm glad about it. But when I love the song Redeemed. That song says it's powerful if you've been redeemed. I'm redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus changed my whole life. If anyone asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. I'll tell you of his savor. I'll tell you of his love. I'll tell you of his goodness to me. He purchased my redemption with his own precious blood, and from sin, oh, hallelujah, I have been set free. I really like this verse because it says, if you run across anybody who used to know me. See, and sometimes when people see us, all they think about is how we used to be. Amen. But it goes on and it says, tell them I'm doing fine. That the last time you saw me, I was praising God with holy hands. Tell them that I have been redeemed. Amen. I'm glad about my redemption. I'm glad that God chose to save me from the life of sin that I was living. Most of y'all been better than me. Amen. I know I was just a wretch. I know I was on my way to hell. But I also know that I'm not the only one in here. That there were many of us that God raised up as we were tumbling down on our way to hell. And because he saved us. Herb, are you glad today? Terry, are you glad the Lord redeemed you? Yeah, I'm talking about some brothers I know was out there. Anthony, what about you? Glad he saved you. I know you are, brother. Donnie? Don? I know that I'm not the only one. Therefore, Christian Charity, celebrate your redemption. Give God glory for what he has done by bringing you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God this morning. Woo. I'd be dead and in my grave. But God loved each and every one of us. Every one of us enough to give his son to ransom us, to save us for eternity. I thank God that it wasn't just for a day, but I'm redeemed, we're redeemed for eternity. Praise the Lord. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank God. Ask you to stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church.